The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Barry Knapp joins us now. He's head of equity strategy at Barclays Capital, joining us on the Ring Central phone line. Barry, good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, as I was chatting with Tom Keen and Michael McKee at the end of their show earlier, they were saying, boy, it just felt like it was going to be kind of a quiet day coming in, and we have this further carnage in gold. We've got big deals out in the works. We've got the Home Builders Index did seem to weigh a little bit on stocks when it came out. What's going on today?
Well, what's been going on over the last month or so, and really seems to have the trend seems to have accelerated, probably beginning with the Bank of Japan announcement, and then further exacerbated by the weak data recently, is that the parts of the stock market that look most like the bond market, the defensive sectors, but stocks with high dividend yields and the like, are performing exceptionally well. In fact, it's pretty rare when you find a period when stock market returns are positive where the defensive sectors outperform this way. And that's all being driven by monetary policy. But on the flip side of it is, if you looked at the S&P 500 industry groups and looked at returns over the last month, what you'll find is that at the very bottom of the list is just a whole range of industry groups, all of which seem to have some connection with China. So metals and mining, electrical equipment, machinery, air freight, anything to do with China is really struggling. It didn't come to a huge surprise to us that we had the weak Chinese data last night. We thought that, generally speaking, the data coming out of China, or certainly the data from U.S. companies that do business in China, had looked soft for some time. But I think the way this is unfolding is that Fed large-scale asset purchases are clearly boosting the parts of the stock market that look most like the bond market. That's been true for nearly 2 years now, but it's really taken flight so far this year. Probably surprise a lot of people to note that the top four performing sectors in the S&P year-to-date are healthcare, staples, utilities, and telecom, so all the defensive sectors. And then the Bank of Japan's actions are likely to bring a significant amount of demand in the U.S. fixed income markets as well, which will only serve to create that same dynamic, which is to push investors out of treasuries, out of agency MBS, into investment-grade credit, into high yield, and ultimately into the parts of the stock market that look most like the bond market. So I think when you look at things like weak data in the U.S., weak data in China, it creates less of a reason to be long the cyclical parts of the market.
Barry, just on the China point, we got data overnight, obviously, where GDP in the first quarter slowed to 7.7% as opposed to the forecast for 8%. Are 0.3% really that important?
Well, I think when you look at measures like industrial production, there's an argument that China's not really growing at 7.7%, that it's actually slower than that. I won't argue with the with the actual numbers. But the fact of the matter is, in the investment environment, in this world, the rate of change is critical. And so when you have things starting to decelerate, and you think about where Chinese growth was a year and a half ago, and that they had added a tremendous amount of credit to the system. You know, Chinese credit's been growing at 20%+ for 4 or 5 years. And then growth starts to decelerate. You do start to see, the cracks develop. And so, yes, on the surface, you could look at it and say 7.7 versus 8 doesn't matter. But in reality, that 7.7 is down from 10% not all that long ago, and the trend is really not your friend.
So have the Citigroup earnings kind of gotten lost in the shuffle this morning?
A little bit, but when I look at the bank earnings in general, what I see is that every single bank that's reported so far, if they've beaten numbers, they've beaten numbers because their provisions were less aggressive than expected. And that was true with Citibank as well. So loan growth is sluggish. There's pressure on net interest margins. And if you beat the numbers, you're beating it because provisions are less, credit isn't all that great. So that sounds like pretty low quality earnings beat stuff to me. Now, I realize Citibank has rallied a bit this morning, but we're underweight the financial sector. We think there's still some decent impairments in mortgage credit, and that core fundamentals are just not all that great right now. And again, if you're beating numbers because you're not provisioning for losses, that's not high quality earnings beats.
What kind of potential does this commodity sell-off have, Barry?
Well, our broad perspective on, you know, the U.S. and the global growth outlook for the first half of the year is we do think that there's a higher probability that the U.S. actually gets to that elusive escape velocity in 2014 than it has been the case in any year since 2010. But we think investors fast-forwarded beyond what was likely always to be slow growth in 2013 and just assumed that we could look past all that. So, you know, if you think about how prevalent investing in commodities was in the last cycle, how it worked in the early stages of this cycle, how, you know, people thought about, okay, central bank throwing a lot of money at the problem will be bullish for at least the precious metals. I think there's, you know, there's a lot of people caught wrong way on all this, and I don't really see how it has run its course until it's taken down, you know, almost every asset class. I've actually heard people describe U.S. equities as a safe haven.
Kind
of makes me chuckle.
It sure does.
So, sir, a couple of big deals going on, well, at least one in particular, and we've got this Dish going for Sprint Nextel up against SoftBank. How is that? Is that affecting the market? I'm guessing, at the very least, you would think people are saying, gosh, are animal spirits coming back?
Well, we've never really found Merger Mondays to be a particularly meaningful indicator. But I think the right way to think about the corporate sector in general and some of this mergers and acquisitions activity and just where corporates are going is each of the last 3 years, we had, as you got into the middle of the year, a pretty big increase in public policy uncertainty. In 10, it was related to the Affordable Care Act and Dodd-Frank. In 11, it was the whole debt ceiling debate fiasco. And then 12, the presidential election. This all culminated by the third quarter of 12 in the weakest capital spending we've had in 30 years away from what happened in the crisis. So this public policy uncertainty really was impairing corporate activity, you know, all about the cash that's built up in balance sheets. We don't think you're going to get that same dynamic to occur in 2013. If public policy uncertainty, you know, related to all the comings and goings in Washington remains low for a couple of quarters, then what we would expect to see is not just money going into shareholder activities like buying back stock, mergers and acquisitions, but actually start to see capital and labor investment pick up. That would really set the stage for stronger growth in 2014 and beyond. As we all know, growth doesn't come from money. It comes from, you know, productivity. It comes from the capital stock or the population growth, the labor stock. So if we could get corporates to start spending that money on capital, building plant and equipment, that would be a positive. I think it's too early to see that, but, you know, it may be that the M&A activity is just an intermediate step towards that end.
So, Barry, you're saying that the uncertainty is behind us in spite of the debates that we know are coming?
We do think it's behind us. We think that we're unlikely to see much this year other than perhaps a little bit of noise around this debt ceiling deadline in May, which can obviously get pushed out through some various treasury actions. But we think at the end of the day, the Republicans and Democrats are likely to agree to just extend it further. And so it's possible we'll have another bit of a fight as we get into the fall around the 2014 budget. But we think that, generally speaking, we're not going to have anything like what we saw the last few years. And importantly, you look at things like the deficit itself. It's fallen from 10.9%. It's on its way to 5% by next year. The level of government spending as a percent of GDP has gone from 25% down to 22%. Now, we would never make the argument that we're out of the woods in our fiscal situation. Most people know that entitlements cause our debt to just explode later in the decade. But for now, things are headed in the right direction. And if we can just keep the noise from Washington to a small din, if you will, then we have a chance for corporate confidence to improve in a more sustainable
way. What if the economic
way?
Data continues to come in weak, though?
Well, that is you hit on a very good point, because that will hit business confidence as well. And so if we find out that we're still just growing at 2%, that's one thing. If the risk of, you know, something softer than that starts to develop, that's something altogether different, because that was certainly the case in 10 and 11, where people got worried about deflation, people got worried about a double dip. We don't think that that's particularly likely either, but you're right to point that risk out, because it is significant. So, you know, when you get into the second quarter, the data needs to be stable, and the federal government needs to be stable. If we can get those things, then maybe we'll get capital investment to pick up.
It's interesting how the stock market often interacts with the Federal Reserve, or markets broadly, right? Because if the economy is a little weak, that keeps the Fed's foot on the bond purchasing accelerator, right? So that's good for stocks. Now, of course, if stocks are too weak, then maybe they say, oh gosh, that Fed's really not helping that much and it's bad. But you see, in some sense, depending on the sentiment in the stock market, that can kind of play either way.
Well, I make a couple quick comments about that. One is, what's working right now, what's getting driven up, and we alluded to this a little bit earlier by Fed policy, is the slow growth parts of the economy, healthcare, staples, utilities. So in that sense, higher stock prices probably is not going to spur a lot of capital investment. But you are right to point out what happened in 10, 11, and 12 was the Fed QE1, QE2, and then Operation Twist. So the program in question had an expiration date of June 30th. The data softened in the second quarter, and public policy uncertainty increased. So in 10 and 11, you had all three things go wrong, in the sense that, you know, policy, monetary policy tightened, public policy uncertainty increased, and the data weakened. We had very sharp corrections in 10 and 11, 17 and 18%. In 12, the Fed decided to extend Operation Twist. In 13, there is no expiration date. It's data dependent, as you implied. So if we're right about public policy, given the way the Fed structure is, you'd think if there's a growth-related correction, it would be nowhere near the same order of magnitude as what we had in 10 or 11. And even the 10% we had last year might be the outer limits for what we could expect.
Barry, 15.25, that was your forecast for the year. That'd be a drop of another 3 or 4%.
Right. Well, our idea was 10% would be a pretty good return in a 3.75% nominal GDP environment. So we do think things are going to soften in the second quarter, and didn't see any reason to change that right now, because the fundamental picture is unfolding as we thought.
Barry Knapp, thanks for joining us today.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.